So these early years, the 78 to 81, how big of a change was it from Germany to the U.S.? Because I was reading that the scene was completely different.
Well, that's why I left, went to Germany. I mean, there's been all these documentaries about, you know, the Sunset Boulevard and the rock scene, and all these rock bands were coming out of L.A., and I'm kind of like, well, that's really not true. And that's not the truth, because I was there.
Yeah.
But I came out early. You know, when we were playing with Van Halen and bands like that, you know, I remember they got their record deal in like 78.
Right.
That album came out and exploded, you know, and everybody was completely blown away by the first Van Halen album. Mm-hmm. And I think that all the bands thought, now we're all going to get a record deal. And it didn't happen. And all of a sudden, the new wave scene hit hard, and the punk scene. And there was bands like the Dickies, and there was bands like Black Flag, and there was, you know, the kind of Kajagoogooey bands coming out, and Blondies, and New York new wave scene, and the My Sharona kind of bands, you know, they had songs like that. So all of a sudden, the rock scene just died, you know, for a couple of years, and people don't know that unless you were there. And I was frustrated because I'm like, look, this is not what I do. This is not the kind of music I like. And I like playing hard rock. And I was listening to, you know, Scorpions, and I was listening to Accept and Saxon and King Diamond and all these European bands and Judas Priest, you know. I mean, those bands hadn't even made it in America yet, but they're popular in Europe. So I said, why don't we go to Europe? Because that's the kind of music we're writing, you know.
Yeah, follow the music.
New wave scene, you know, I remember everybody was cutting their hair off. Everybody had long hair, and everybody's whacking it off and getting crazy haircuts and changing their look and, you know, and going more of that new wave thing. And it lasted, you know, 2-3 years. So you had rock, you had new wave, and then you had the punk scene. And, you know, and every club kind of had their own trip. There was a place called Madame Wong's, and they did all the punk music. And in fact, I'm putting a record out in a couple of months called The Weasels. They're really popular in Hollywood, but they never got their record put out.
Really?
And I own a recording studio, and I called them 20 years later and said, hey, guys, why don't we all get back together and let's make that record. You never had a chance to. So we did, and I'm putting it out, and people are like, what are you doing that for? It's a punk band. I said, yeah, but they're really good. So the scene was different, you know. So that's why people always ask me, why'd you go to Germany? You're from L.A. And I said, that's why I went, because the music scene was dead.
Yeah.
And then I come back, and it was really dead. And then I went back to Germany in late 1980 and did another little club tour, which was a disaster, kind of, because it was snowing, it was cold, and we have no roadies, and we're dragging our equipment through the snow. And again, you know, Michael Wagner, I'd become friends with him before he was famous producer. And he had a studio, and we'd sneak in there at night and record demos. And that's where these songs came from, most of them. Some L.A., some mostly Germany.
That's pretty wild. Well, it's also seems like good timing, too, right? Because there's the 80s hair metal kind of that whole rock and roll vibe is almost getting a resurgence with, like, you know, that Motley Crue movie that came out, and whether it's all the, you know, everything's kind of being rebooted and redone, but it's getting like this second life right now.
It is getting a reboot. You know, we play for thousands of people, and I'm sometimes when I do these meet and greets now, I'll see some kid, a young adult.
Sure.
You know, I have to call them young adults now at my age. So I'll ask them, because I say, I saw you in the front row, and you were singing all the lyrics to Into the Fire, and you were singing all the lyrics to Breaking the Chains, and no offense, but you looked like you weren't born yet when I wrote those songs. And they said, yeah, I was, you know, I was 6 and 7, and my parents were listening to Dokken, and as I, you know, and then some people said, oh, I was 13 or 14, but I wasn't allowed to go to the concerts. So now, and then you guys broke up.
Yeah.
And they said, well, I never got to see you live. And now you fast forward, and they're like, you know, I can finally go see Dokken live because I'm a big boy now.
I'm a grown up. So I can now live my childhood fantasy. Audience.
I see people in their 20s, 30s, 50s, 60s. It's wild, you know. I meet people in their 60s, and they just liked Ogden, and you know, and a lot of fans now are very young, you know. So, but they're just getting, like you said, a reboot.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And I know I last read up on the injury with your hands. Is there any change in that? Are you able to do anything with the hands yet?
No.
No. Is there still any hope? Last I read that you were still optimistic.
I'm optimistic. I do physical therapy twice a week.
Okay.
Go to down to the hospital, to the therapy center, and they're working on my hands, trying to get my fingers just all kind of bent and crooked, and they're trying to straighten out my fingers, and they're trying to get some sensation in my arm because it's paralyzed all the way up to my, almost to my shoulders.
Wow. Yeah, that's
I don't know what happened. You know, it shouldn't have happened. You know, this was a spinal surgery I had to have done.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that was happening for several years, but I didn't see the signs, like riding my Harley, you know. And I'm like, damn, it seems like it's harder and harder to pull that clutch in with my left hand, you know. And on my right hand, I'd be riding, and my hand would start going to sleep.
Mm.
I couldn't figure it out, you know. So I went to a doctor, and they did an MRI, and they said, well, you know, bad news. Your spinal cord is, like, completely smushed, you know, the base of your skull. I said, oh, great. And they said, you get in an accident? Nope. Get in a fight? Nope. Fall off the roof? Nope. And I'm like, I don't know what happened, you know. So I went to a specialist at Cedars-Sinai, and I guess the joke, if you want to call it a joke, right before they put me under, I told the doctor, I said, just do me a favor. Don't paralyze me.
Oh, no.
Swear to God, that's what I said. I said, actually, my exact words were, don't effing.
All right. I appreciate the paraphrasing.
And I remember he said, that's why you came to me. It won't happen. That's why you picked me. So I'm thinking, okay, I feel better. But when I woke up 5.5 hours later out of surgery, both my hands were burning and like they're on fire, and it was very painful, and I couldn't move my fingers, and I, you know, of course I freaked out. And so my left hand now works. I'm holding my phone right now, but it's weak. I still can't play. But my right hand, nothing. It's just dead.
Hmm.
So it's gotten, I would say, optimistically, it's you know, 5% better than it used to be, but it's been 8 months. We played the other night in Milwaukee, and of course I just sang, and my friend came to see me, who's actually has a radio show called The Classic Metal Show, and he goes, well, last time I saw you, your hand looked terrible. It was all purple and swollen. He goes, it looks a lot better now, in my opinion. So, you know, they said it could be a year, year and a half, or never.
Yeah.
So I have to, you know, bite the bullet, and I had 50 years to play guitar, and I think about people like the drummer in Def Leppard who lost an arm.
Right.
And he kept, you know, and he made it work. And so bottom line is I'm keeping my fingers crossed that, you know, it'll come back, and if it doesn't, it doesn't, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, progress is progress, and hopefully, you know, hopefully there's more to be found, the more, you know, physical therapy and stuff you do. You still got the pipes, though, and you said that you were just coming off a show, which I'm sure is, did you go a good long while without getting any with all this, you know, COVID stuff?
Actually, no. Well, I mean, we did. I mean, I took 6 months off to recuperate after surgery,
and
I did that for a reason. I said, well, I'll have my surgery, and then, you know, we'll write a new studio album. And this is before COVID. I had my surgery in last November. And so when all this happened, you know, they said all the bands, our whole tour was canceled this summer. But we've done about four shows during COVID. And it worked out pretty good. You know, we play outdoors, like a 5,000-seater we did in Virginia and Arkansas. They only let 2,500 people in, social distancing, check your temperature as you're going through the gate, they hand out masks, and it went pretty well, you know, except the 200 people right in front of the stage that were idiots weren't wearing any masks.
Right, yeah.
That was a little scary, but, you know, so far it's worked out okay. We did Milwaukee. I still have two more shows coming up this month. I got a show in Texas and Austin. And then we have a show in Michigan in October. and that's it. We're done for the year, and I'm just going to concentrate on getting well and finishing this new record. I'm not the ones coming out tomorrow, you know, the lost songs, but I'm going to finish the studio album. And
yeah.
Thank God, before surgery, John Levin, who's been in the band now 20 years, we wrote like 8 songs, you know, that were ready for the record before I had surgery. So thank God I've got a huge body of work that's ready to go.
For the new studio album, you wrote 8 songs?
A new studio album.
That's excellent news.
That is amazing.
Well, I got lucky with that.
Fair enough. You call it luck, I'll call it work.
That's funny you said that, because I call it, you know, 99% 9% inspiration and 10% work. And Gene Simmons said to me once, I run into him quite a bit because him and I live on the same street. And we were having a conversation, I think, at Starbucks once, and he said, and I said that, and he goes, no, Don, it's like 90% work and 10% inspiration. And I said, I beg to disagree. So, and it's pretty hard to disagree with Gene Simmons.
Yeah, yeah, I can see. Yeah, I guess I can see how that would be.
Gene. I said, no, I don't agree. It's got to be inspired. You know, it's not work. This isn't math. And that's the problem. Sometimes people take years to make a record. You know, if I'm not inspired, I'm not inspired. I can't help it.
Sure.
You know, it drives me crazy when I would go into my recording studio. I built this beautiful studio, and we'd all get together, and I'd sit down at the console and go, what do you got? And I go, nothing. Nothing,
the worst.
Man. I go, my brain is, you know, I'm trying to tap into that cosmic universe, and I'm like, it's not coming, guys. The switch is off, you know. Maybe I need to drink some wine. You know, so, and then sometimes I go in the studio and write 2 songs in 1 night.
Wow.
It's a weird process as a musician, you know? It's not just, I'm a little disappointed what's going on now with this whole, like I said, all this American Idol, and
yeah,
they're all great singers. They've never been in a band in their life. They haven't paid any dues. They've never been on stage. They're singing cover songs that were already a hit, you know? And so I'm like, doesn't do anything for me. I want to hear a person sing originals and pay some dues and have some, you know, been on stage 100 times. That's, I think it's more legitimate. So I'm not really into these America's Got Talent stuff.
That's a fair point, man. I couldn't agree more. I think it's like iron sharpening iron, right? You can't just walk into, you don't have any practice, you don't have any grit, you don't have any experience, stuff like that. You're just singing songs that, like you said, are already popular. You sound good, but what's behind it?
Yeah, what's behind it? And, you know, I mean, not everybody has to pay dues, you know. A lot of bands, you know, play the club scene and for a year or two, and then they broke out, like Nirvana. And bam,
yeah.
They were huge overnight. But, you know, I remember talking to... It was kind of funny on the... Oops, sorry about that.
You're right.
I remember we're doing the Monsters of Rock tour. You know, we're playing stadiums with Van Halen and Scorpions and Metallica and us and Kingdom Come. And I was laughing one night talking to Eddie Van Halen because we have all this brand new shiny equipment. We've got all this bitching gear. And I said, you remember that first time you and I were playing the Whiskey together and we were borrowing duct tape from each other to keep our cabinets from falling apart? All our equipment had duct tape all over it. Starving musicians, you know?
If you don't have a homemade bass cab or something as a musician, were you really ever a musician?
You have to. I mean, I remember taking plywood and you know, screws and going down to an electronic shop and buying a speaker and bolting it in and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, and making a speaker cabinet because I couldn't afford to buy a real one.
Yep. My husband's a drummer, so.
She knows the struggle.
I know the struggle.